couldn't even cash a check. It was thus a relief when the Callisto, renamed Fisherman II, finally sailed out of Papeete. The Fisherman II was a disaster from the very start. The slightest seas caused her to roll, and when it had encountered a storm en route to Tahiti, everyone on board was sure it would sink. All that had occurred before it even arrived in Tahiti. Repairs were made, and it proceeded on to Papeete. Now, with Gray's entire entourage on board, they'd barely left Tahiti when the yacht was already rolling terribly. It continued to keep most of the passengers seasick as it continued on to Tonga. The continual rolling was so bad, Gray found himself unable to write. By May 11th, they reached Suva in Fiji. The crew got roaring drunk. There had been so much seasickness that few passengers and crew wanted to face the open ocean again. That decision was made for them by Dolly's cablegram, to wit. The bill from the shipbuilders came in, $300,000. All the markets are drying up. There is no more money for the voyage. Turn around and come home. It was during this period that Gray wrote The Lost Wagon Train. He completed this long, over 400 pages, novel by spring of 1931. It was serialized by Cosmopolitan magazine beginning with the July issue of that year, but it was not published as a complete text by Harper's until 1936. It's interesting to speculate as to what effect Gray's crumbling fortunes had on the selection of the subject and the evolution of its twisting, complex, gory plot. For the novel's time period, Gray reached back 90 years to 1861, the beginning of the Civil War. For the setting, northeast New Mexico, then a territory, in the general vicinity of the Canadian River, Old Santa Fe Trail, and Fort Union today. The book begins with a devil's pact between the Kiowa chief Setane and Stephen Latch. Note Gray's description of Setane. He appeared to be of small stature, his stooped shoulders covered by a blanket. His raven-black hair was parted in the middle, and one braid showed over a fold of the blanket. His visage expressed a tremendous power. It was a pointed face, wedge-shaped, the forehead broad, the chin sharp. In the shadow, no lines were discernible, yet the face belonged to a mature Indian with a record of blood and evil. The firelight showed the basilisk eyes, black, cold, with a glitter in their depths. End of Latch. Stephen Latch's fine dark face betrayed the havoc of a wild period. He looked to be about 30 years old and was the son of a Louisiana planter, ruined at the inception of the war. Latch had not been accorded a commission in the Confederate Army, and bitterly alienated, he had fought a duel with the officer who had forestalled him. With the blood on his hands, and with all the rebel hatred for the North in his heart, he had set out to wage his own battle against the Northerners. From a guerrilla warfare, it had speedily degenerated into border outlawry. Since the book concludes with Latch making a Faustian deal with God, the entire plot of the book represents a transition between a devil's pact and a desperate Faustian attempt to placate and bargain with God. The devil's pact is fiendish, one that will consign Latch to a hellish end. Yet, as you will note when you read, the story proceeds like the unraveling of the twisted skein of a Greek tragedy, with the unceasing awareness of his earlier great evil always hanging like a black cloud over him. Latch turns out to be one of the most complex villains Gray ever unleashed in the pages of a novel. The pace is so unrelenting, readers find it extremely difficult to put the book down before its incredible conclusion. Almost unbelievably, it is also a dual romance. The book is, in essence, a companion piece to Gray's Fighting Caravans, written 3.5 years earlier, 1927 and 8. An epic of the first magnitude, it is arguably one of his greatest books. The book celebrates the now legendary years of wagon trains at the peak of Western migration, the heroic and bloody years of 1856 to 71. As you read The Lost Wagon Train, you will feel you too are living in that tumultuous period when untold thousands of Americans dared death in their search for a better life.